From One World Trade Center, where we can't figure out a 401k, but we can fill out a fantasy lineup. Welcome to the Golf Digest Fantasy Podcast.
Welcome back to the Golf Digest Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm Alex Myers. I'm joined by Joel Beal. And this week we are talking about the RBC Canadian Open, which of course is the lone tournament in between the British Open and the PGA Championship. So it's kind of an interesting spot in the schedule. But first, Joel, what were your thoughts about the Open Championship?
I feel like we live in such a negative society that no matter what happens, let's say like when the Cavaliers won the championship this year, instead of celebrating the fact that, oh my gosh, the city of Cleveland just got away this curse, the first thing people said was the Warriors blew it. I feel like we're just such predicated on, instead of focusing on somebody winning and some losing. The reason I say that is Sunday's events at Troon were so great that I didn't see a single negative thing about right. Phil or Henrik. It was just a celebration of two guys going at it, bringing their best. You really have to feel for Phil. He played one of the best rounds
of his career.
Not even of his career. Of any final round history in major championship. And over the last four holes, couldn't catch Henrik. It was just a flawless performance. Even the two bogeys, I felt like, weren't even that bad bogeys from Stenson. 10 birdies. It was one of the few moments that you were very aware of. You recognized you were in a moment and was greater than yourself while it was happening. That's a very rare feat, I feel like, in today's sports.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. It was a slugfest back and forth right from the beginning. You know, Phil makes that eagle on four and Stenson birdies. But then, it was incredible. And if you were to tell Phil Mickelson he was going to shoot a bogey-free 65 in the final round of a major when he's in the final group and he's only one back, he would 99.9999% win. I mean, it's just never happened, really, what's happened there. I know people talk about the duel in the sun, and even Jack Nicklaus said this might be better. Now, I don't know if I'd go that far, but for Phil to play that good and lose, man, that is tough.
What was his number? That his score went one in 141 of the previous 145, or of the 145 opens.
Amazing. And he finished 11 shots ahead of third place. 11.
And this is probably a credit to Golf Channel NBC. My main worry going into Sunday was these guys were so far ahead of the pack. It's, oh boy, like this is kind of the only narrative you have going. I think NBC did a great job of keeping everybody focused and keeping the narrative going along. And it definitely helped that one of the ancillary stories was Beef. Overall, it's a celebration of golf right now. Really, everyone's coming off. We're on Tuesday and we're still talking about what happened on Sunday. I feel like, especially now, the 24-hour news cycle, once something's done, it's just done. But the fact that people are still talking about it, I think it's a testament to how great the golf was over the whole week.
Yeah. It was that good, and I think we'd be even talking about it more if Phil had won, but to show just how great it was, like you said, we are still talking about it, even though Henrik Stenson won. Now, Henrik Stenson should be a star. He's as funny of a tour pro as it comes, as smart of a tour pro as it comes. When you listen to his press conferences, you really like the guy, and you have to like the fact that someone who's had so many close calls finally got it done. I know, you know, there's still the guys like Lee Westwood and Sergio out there, but who probably might even deserve it even more than Henrik. But Henrik certainly deserved a major. And it's just kind of amazing that someone who had never gotten it done not only gets it done, but to do it with a 63, to do it by setting history with the low aggregate score at a major. I don't know. It was amazing. He really felt like it was his time. He told his caddy, in 2.5 hours, you're not going to be able to smoke anymore because he'd made that bet. Right?
That was the other thing. There were so many little stories that went along, too, that the bet with his caddy that, you know, if I ever won a major, you have to quit smoking. He drops that in the middle of the round.
It shows you how
they call him the Iceman. Yeah. Him dedicating the win to his friend who just passed earlier in the week. Our discussion is this basically makes Stenson a Hall of Famer now, right? Just little things like that. It's a very rare occurrence. And not forget a major, any tournament. And, we've just really been blessed.
Yeah, and we're not jumping the gun on the Hall of Fame stuff. I mean, he really is he's Hall of Fame eligible now, right?
He is.
I mean,
16 technically wins now worldwide. You only need 15 as a new qualification now. You need two wins in either a major or a player's, and he won the 2009 player, so he gets there. Has three Ryder Cups under him. It's going to be a fourth this fall. I mean, and here's the thing, because of historically, you were qualified for the Hall of Fame at age 40. This was it March. They changed it to 40, 50.
Right.
He's still got a lot of good golf ahead of him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I don't think he's going to win another major, honestly, because I think it was almost the perfect storm. Mm. How slow they were running the greens at Royal Troon. That's been his biggest Achilles heel, putting.
Well,
and
yeah.
If it's, I mean, the fact that they had a 9.5 of Troon over the weekend, I think that definitely played into his hands.
That's true. But like you said, this is a confident guy, and afterwards he said, you never know, the floodgates could open. I couldn't believe he actually said that at age 40. And we saw he's in pretty good shape.
Oh, yeah, he could kick our ass, no doubt about it.
You know, that shirt kind of came up a little. The guy's in good shape for 40, so I think he's got some good golf to go. I would, if I had to bet on it, I'd say he'd win another major.
And just for the readers that, or listeners at home, I should say, Alex was over in Scotland. I was here in New York, and you could feel the excitement was palpable through the computer when Stenson took his shirt off. I've never seen you so giddy or heard you so giddy. So even right now, you're smiling about it.
I don't know. It was just unusual. I don't know if there's ever been someone about to win a major, in particular the Open Championship with all its history and all that, and they're basically topless on the 17th hole. That was for a good, like, 10 seconds.
If it catches on, I'm all for it.
That was crazy.
Can you imagine if Beef does
that?
Oh,
Beef did that. That'd be, wow, yeah. But also, too, in the heat of the moment, obviously he'd gotten a little hot, but I don't know. Everything was working so well for him. I was just surprised he changed anything.
That was kind of weird, yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
But then he hit a laser at the 17th hole. So, and back to the Hall of Fame stuff. There are only two players now who have won a major, a Players, a World Golf Championship, and the FedEx Cup. And it's Tiger Woods and Henrik Stenson. So I know obviously that's a more modern accomplishment, but still, that's pretty impressive. But
40 too.
And yeah, exactly. And they're both 40, right. Yeah, so Tiger, I mean, maybe that's the spark Tiger needs. Sees another 40-year-old out there getting it done.
As we say, an hour ago, he's out for the rest
out.
Of the year.
He's out. So. But, yeah. All right, well, I guess we have to move on to the Canadian Open. Sorry about that if you were waiting for our picks, but we are going to get into them now. Joel, I'll let you kick it off. Obviously, it's at Glen Abbey this year where it was last year. It's been at Glen Abbey, I think, more often than not. In the past 40 years or so, it's a Jack Nicklaus design. I know Jack never won the Canadian Open. He designed Glen Abbey. I think he thought he was going to win some. He never even won on his own course.
7-time runner-up.
Yeah, so he has a Phil Mickelson-esque at the U.S. Open record at Canadian Open. But we've seen some big names. We've seen some not-so-big names win this event. Who are you starting off this week in your lineup?
Well, I am starting out with a big name, and that's our friend Brant Snedeker.
Yeah.
Who, you know what, he's played well here before. He won in 2013. Also had, I think, a top five finish in either, I think it was 2009. Played relatively well this year. I know he had that really hot start, and people think he kind of, you know, has cooled off, but he still made 10 of 14 cuts this season. And I feel like the last few weeks he's getting very, very close. This is a type of track that does sit his game. You don't need to be really long to compete there. Snedeker's just a guy who pops out. I mean, there's some big names in the field this week. Like you mentioned, Jason Day, reigning winning. Dustin Johnson's here, Kuchar. But I think Snedeker's actually a guy who pops out as the guy I like to win this week.
You mentioned Jason Day. It's tough for me not to pick him against this field with the way he's playing. I know he hasn't won. I know now that he's won 7 of his last whatever events has gone from 7 out of 17 to now it's like 21 or something. It's still, though, basically, he's won about a third of the tournaments in the last year. And that started last year, made the birdie putt on 18 at this course, at this event, following that close call at the British Open. So it was this event that really ignited this run from Jason Day. And again, I couldn't believe yesterday I saw pictures of him being posted at around noon of him already playing over there. And he had just wrapped up his final round at Royal Troon the night before. So, you know, he got over there pretty early. He's a defending champ. I'm sure he wants to build a little more momentum before next week's PGA. Now, he did get the bad end of the draw at Royal Troon, so don't think, oh, he's really scuffling or anything. I think he finished, you know, T22 or something, and he was on the bad end of the draw. So not too many people fared better than that. So, yeah, just I know it's an obvious pick, but Jason Day's sitting there. I'm plugging him in.
This was the tournament last year that kind of started his really big one. Run one here, then came to Whistling Straits, and then obviously that nice run in the FedEx Cup and Spalding now. So, yeah, he could have the same thing. And I'm with you. He's actually – I mean, he's listed as the Vegas co-favorite going into the PGA Championship. I think he's actually the guy I like more than all the other, especially the way he's playing. You mentioned the bad – that was the one – if I make one critique about the coverage last week was I felt like they didn't – amplify those errors enough. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Reed played well in kind of the iffy weather, but you could really tell the between the morning and afternoon flights of the scores in Royal Tournament. And I felt like they didn't even really mention that at all, which I thought was really kind of bizarre. But I'm with you. I think Day's coming in as at least next week is the guy to beat.
I'll make the next pick, and I will go with Matt Kuchar, who didn't have a great week at the Open, but again, we're back to the non-majors, and he has been just on a roll in non-majors. I think he's been in the top six and five straight non-majors, something like that. He had obviously a couple runner-ups even thrown in there. So in this event that he's played in, he played well at before as well.
Yeah, I think he had a top 10 last year. And then I think maybe even like a runner-up a few years before that.
So, this was a guy who we used to count on maybe the most consistent player on tour in terms of racking up top tens. I think he's kind of back in that mode. And, I'm looking at Cooch this week.
I mean, he's got to be a guy you would think at this point has kind of locked up a spot on the Ryder Cup team.
Yeah. Well, the American Ryder Cup team right now is...
It's looking iffy,
it's
right?
It's looking a little iffy. It was funny. Someone asked Henrik Stenson in his when he won, it's in his press conference, if he expected to see Phil Mickelson at the Ryder Cup, and he kind of laughed and like thought the reporter was joking, because I mean, Phil Mickelson's easily on the Ryder Cup team. There's no question here. I think he was alluding to the fact that maybe Phil will be a captain's pick or something. No, Phil's like one of the best players on the team.
He's third on points.
Yeah, I mean he's one of the studs for the U.S., which is I don't know if it's definitely sad, but it's definitely unusual that a 46-year-old who hasn't won in 3 years would be that high in the standings. But with that runner-up at the Open, he does have six top fives this year, which, I don't know, that might lead the tour. I mean, it definitely has to be up there. Kuchar, some of these older veteran players, who knows, Steve Stricker. Now, that could be a captain's pick. The guy's 49. He finished fourth at Royal Troon.
And earn the invites to the PGA Championship.
Yep.
So things are looking up for him.
Yeah. Who else you got?
Next guy on my list is your friend, Big Gravy.
Oh, Big Gravy. Nice. You're jumping on the Big Gravy train, aren't you? Ooh, I did
trademark
it.
That. Sell t-shirts. He's played really well as of late. I think everyone kind of looks at that PGA or the Players Championship as, a little bit of an aberration, but he's shown that it's anything but three top fives, I believe, in the last six starts. Really straight hitter, which is what you need at Glen Abbey.
And kind of fitting with, sorry to interrupt you, but Canada, the all-time great, Mo Norman. Kind of a fitting, Canada.
There's a little bit of a symmetry there. Yeah, we're make a Cole Norman parallel.
Yeah, well, just the straightness. He leads the tour in fairways. And
he's actually, well, the good thing about him, too, is that we've mentioned this on a prior podcast, but Knowles is a guy who has actually always been a really good ball striker. What's kind of kept him from being a perennial household name is his inability, really, to do anything on the greens.
Yeah.
Changing this year, he's been lights out inside 15 feet. So if that keeps up, I think he's a guy who's just a really safe bet for a top 10 this week.
Who weighs more, Big Gravy or Beef?
I'm going to say Beef just because of the beard. I feel like that probably adds an extra 5-10 pounds.
That's good. I'm going to say Beef as well, and I'm also going to say, because I was looking at some pictures of him from just a few weeks ago, I think he's gained a bunch of weight in the last few weeks. He wasn't that big when he first kind of, when he won that event and said, I'm going to get hammered, and we first started to hear about him. He was not a small dude, but, man, he was walking around last week, and he's a big dude now.
I imagine his profile has raised a bit, and then because of that, people have probably seen him in bars,
buying him a drink. Yeah,
I mean, same thing's happened with you with the grind. I can tell you're getting a little cheeks there. People are getting you the free food, and
it's
a downward spiral.
Yeah, the life of being a celebrity, it's fantastic. No, but Beef. Gene Wojciechowski was actually bold enough to ask him. Now, nothing's bold asking Beef because the guy laughs at every question. But he said, "How officially? How much do you weigh?" And his response was, "I don't know. you want to pick me up? So that was one of the best moments, I thought, last week.
We should have him in the office in 2 weeks. Why not, right?
Love to get him in here. Yeah. We'll hopefully get him on the podcast soon, but that'd be great if he could make a stop by. Yeah.
Oh, who you got next?
Next up for me, I'm going to keep the Canada theme going now that I mentioned Mo Norman and bring up Graham Dillette, who is another one of Canada's great golfers. I know we were trying to come up with a list of the best Canadian golfers ever, and obviously we had Norman, Mike Weir. By the way, somehow never won this tournament, but he won the Masters. It's a mystery to me.
He's in good company, though. Him and Jack.
Jack cannot win the Canadian Open. Who else did we have on there? We had Brad Fritsch.
Yeah.
Adam Hadwin, David Hearn.
Hearn, who is playing this week?
Nick Taylor. So Canada. This is a big event if you are Canadian, obviously. And funny story with Graham Dillette. In Scotland last week, myself and Steve Hennessy, a coworker, we were so convinced that we saw Graham Dillette in the restaurant where we had just eaten dinner that we went down to one of the, gambling books, William Hill or Ladbrokes. There's one every 10 feet there. And we wanted to bet on Graham Dillette. And we went up to the counter and we said it, and they said, he's not in the field. And we didn't believe him. We were like, we just saw him at a restaurant. Well, turns out he was playing at the Barbasol Championship last week.
But he played well at the Barbasol.
Right.
Top 10. I think T8, actually.
Exactly. Exactly. So, again, if I were in Scotland now, I would be making a bet on him for this week because I know he's in this week's field. But, yes, so anyway, case of mistaken identity. I don't know who it was. It was someone who
– Just everyone with a beard looks exactly the same.
Maybe that's it. It's a beard prejudice. I'm sorry. I need to correct myself.
That's why I shaved mine. You just looked at me.
I did. I didn't think as highly of you with that beard.
Which is saying something.
A dirty beard. Who else you got?
Well, one guy I'm staying away from is Jim Furyk, who I think actually a lot of the guys in Vegas are liking him this week. But really, since that U.S. Open finish, he's kind of fallen off the grid a little bit. T21 at the Quicken Loans, which might seem okay, but really didn't do anything special at Congressional that week, and that was a week where a lot of guys went low. At Firestone, finished 42nd. That's a limited field, so again, not as good as it seems. And then, yeah, he made the cut at the British Open, but he finished 59th and, again, never contended. I think this is even though we mentioned earlier, this is not the longest of the course. It requires more of accuracy, which seems to fit Furyk's bill, but it just seems like if you look across the board right now, I think he's still not quite right coming back from industry. I think really the Oakmont can just be chalked up to him kind of growing up in the area. Outside that, he hasn't done anything of merit, which is the reason that he's not playing awful. He's only missed 2 of the 8 events he's played in this year, but at the same time, he's only had 1 top 10. That was at U.S. Open. So I feel like you're about to counter those.
I'm disagreeing with you. Jim Furyk is my fourth guy who I'm playing this week, and I'm playing him for one reason. He finished his round on Sunday. I'm out there. I'm waiting for kind of the leaders to come through. And I'm like, is that Jim Furyk? Jim Furyk went out to the putting green after a full week at Royal Troon in cold weather and rain on Friday, and he went out on the putting green and was practicing after he was done with the tournament. So, I think he, I love that. He is called the grinder. He really is a grinder. And I just like that preparation from him. My point is he's not coming over here and just mailing it in. He's working on his game hard. And he's another guy. He's getting up there in years. He's not taking any tournaments for granted. He wants to get in good shape for that last major next week because he missed one major already this year. He wants to take advantage of every chance he has in those big events. And that extra practice just shows you how much he wants it.
Well, we mentioned the Ryder Cup earlier. He's actually still in shouting distance of qualifying because of how he did last year. So I'm with you on that. It's not the worst pick. Outside of Oakmont, he hasn't really come to play, so that's the reason why he's on my stay away list.
Do you have anybody else you want to highlight?
We mentioned earlier David Hearn, who's played well here in the past.
Canada. Here we go.
Top golfer.
Yeah.
Again, his game doesn't really pop off of the page at you. However, he did lead the field in strokes gained when he came in last year, finished third, 3 top 20s in his past 5 starts. He's a sentimental pick, but he's also a smart pick this week.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Those are our picks for the RBC Canadian Open. Thank you for listening. please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes if you haven't done so already. And check back next week when we will be giving you our PGA Championship picks. Thank you.